You're listening to the Author Stories Podcast, bringing you the story behind the stories and the storytellers.
Margaret Wise,
Terry Brooks,
Sheena Kamal,
Matthew Quick,
J.T. Ellison,
Walt D. Williams,
Brad Thor,
Corey Doctorow,
Brandon Sanderson,
Robin Mom,
Ernest Klein, Jim Butcher,
Sherilyn Harris.
Visit HankGarner.com for archives of all the shows. Today's guest is...
Well, thanks for joining me again for the Author Stories Podcast, where I bring you the story behind the stories and the storytellers. Today, I'm really excited to have Polly Crosby on the show with me today. She has an amazing new book. It's called The Book of Hidden Wonders, if you're in the U.S. or U.S. territories. If you're not, if you happen to be in the U.K., the book is called The Illustrated Child. I love this book so much. Thank you for joining me today, Polly.
Thank you so much, Hank. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Polly, we begin each show with the same question, and that question is, what is your first memory of wanting to be a writer or storyteller?
Gosh, I think the first one I really remember is I must have been about 11 years old, and I was at middle school, and I had the most amazing English teacher called Miss Pirrie, and she was even then, she seemed to be about 100, but I don't think she really was. and she got everyone writing and everyone reading, and she managed to get us all to enter competitions, and so many of us did really well. And I've actually got her in the acknowledgements of my book because she was so important to me. And I'm not sure if she's still alive, so I've been doing a bit of an internet search to find out. I'm about halfway through that search, and I've located where she might be, but I don't yet know if I can contact her.
So fun. Well, if you're listening, please get in touch with Polly right away. It's very important. So Polly, were you a bookish kid? Did you read a lot?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I spent a lot of time reading. I was either reading or running about in the countryside. I didn't do much else. And sometimes taking a book and running about in the countryside with it.
Do you remember the first book, or maybe it was a series, or maybe it was an author that when reading gave you the feeling that you could be transported to another place?
Yes, I think there were a few, but the one that really sticks in my mind is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, just because it transports you into a totally new world. And I think that's why I wrote the novel that I wrote, because it's a story about a series of children's books. And I Right. wanted to capture that feeling of getting lost in a book as a child that I don't think I can do so much as an adult. I love reading still and I enjoy it so much. But I think when you're a kid, you're in that world, aren't you?
Right. Exactly. Polly, as someone who has a debut novel now, were there other things that you pursued before writing grabbed a hold of you and pulled you in? Were there other career paths?
Oh, well, I'm 40 now, so I think I wrote my first novel when I was 19, but it didn't really go anywhere. I've always written, but I've always had to do other things as well, because I haven't managed to get anything else published before. I worked in art galleries and I've painted pictures. I've done lots of things, really, but I've always written on the side of it. And now I'm extremely lucky to be just writing full time.
Well, now that you mention that, I love to hear about the intersection between creative pursuits. And you said that you're a painter and you worked in art galleries. Do you feel like that those pursuits intertwine with the storytelling, with writing? Do you see a connection between those things?
Yes, definitely. The Book of Hidden Wonders is about an artist who creates a series of picture books. So I do describe a lot of paintings and pictures in the stories. So to me, they go hand in hand. And sometimes when I'm trying to work out a part of the story, I'll try and paint it or sketch it or do another version of it so that I can see it a bit more clearly.
You said, Polly, that this was not the first book that you've written, though it's the first book that was published. Some of those desk drawer novels, as we like to call them, or trunk novels, can you tell the difference in this book and previous pursuits? Like, what is it about this book that let you know? You know, as you're writing, maybe, or as you're editing, when you're kind of at the end and there's a whole story there. Did you know, like, okay, this is going to be the one?
That's a good question. I think I've probably written 3 or 4 complete novels and started countless novels before. I think the difference with this one is that I did occasionally stop writing it because I couldn't see my way forward, but I always came back to it. It took about 8 or 9 years on and off, very part-time. I started writing it when my son was quite small, so I'd write in the snatches of time that he slept during the day. But every other novel I've sort of shelved, and that's been it. But this one, I was desperate to get it published because I saw something in it, I suppose.
I have 5 kids, and I know all about that, you know, the looking for those snatches of time where you can write. You kind of described this book as the story is kind of haunting. It just wouldn't let you go. You had to finish it. What was it about this story that that kind of haunted your thoughts about it?
I think haunting is a really good way to describe the novel as well, because it's quite a fairy tale, slightly magical, slightly dark novel. And I think I'm always drawn to dark books anyway. And I think it was that that made me want to carry on, because I wanted to explore where I could go with it. And it was like it was calling me whenever I didn't write it. So I had to keep going with it.
What is it that draws you to dark stories, do you think?
I think I love fairy tales and everything that seems quite light on the outside and actually sends you down a bit of a rabbit hole and has layers, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's that sort of thing that I wanted to pursue myself. And the thing about layers is you can start with 2 or 3 layers and then you end up with quite a few more. So, yeah, it's been a labour of love, but it's quite an intricate novel, I think.
Yeah. There's something about fairy tales, you mentioned that they really connect with readers on multiple levels. And this is not a good analog, I admit that in the beginning, but the Pixar movies are a little bit like that, where a little kid can watch it and just get all sorts of enjoyment, but then an adult is sitting right next to them and the story connects with them on a completely different level, and the humor is different and all that, and I think it's actually kind of genius storytelling that allows you to tell a story on a couple of different levels.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right with Pixar films. And I think it also happens in a different way with manga, with Studio Ghibli films. Yeah. There's a sort of beautiful outside, but there's quite a lot going on inside. And I think also with books, I know that my book is an adult book, but it's a coming of age story. So it deals with a child growing into an adult. And I know that different age people seem to get different things from it. And I feel like that with certain books that I read. I can read them when I'm younger and get one thing from it, and read them 20 years later and get something completely different. And that's what's so lovely about books, I think.
Absolutely. Do you remember what the initial thought, the initial idea for this story was? I love to hear about that first kind of kernel of an idea that maybe has nothing to do, or it seems like, you know, to the reader, nothing to do on the surface with what this finished product is. But to you, there's a deep connection there. Do you remember what that first thing was?
Oh, yes. There were 2 very distinct things, actually. The first one was I rescued an Oriental cat, which is a bit like a Siamese. He was very loud and very chatty and a real character. And I wanted to write something about him, but I couldn't work out how to write an adult novel about a cat. So I thought, he needs to have an owner. And that's how the protagonist, Romilly Kemp, was born. So she's an 8-year-old child and she gets this kitten, and that's how it all starts. The second thing that got me thinking about this novel was I heard a documentary on BBC Radio 4 years ago about a picture book called Masquerade, which was dubbed as an armchair treasure hunt. And it had lots of clues in all the pictures, and there was an actual real treasure buried somewhere in the UK. And this was in the late 70s, and people came from around the world to try and find this treasure. And they started digging up anywhere and everywhere on private land and everything. And I decided I didn't want to actually look at the book before I'd written my own novel, because I didn't want to be too influenced by Masquerade. And since finishing the novel, I've got myself a copy, and it's a pretty cool book.
So tell me about the character of Romilly Kemp. Who is she, and how did she sort of reveal herself to you?
So Romilly, excuse me, Romilly is an 8-year-old girl when we start the novel, and she's living with her father. They've just moved to a very ramshackle old mansion in the middle of the Suffolk countryside, and it's surrounded by a lake. And it's a sort of fairy tale setting. You think that anything can happen. And she's got a very overactive imagination, and she loves stories. And it's about her discovering everything about the place and about herself and about her family.
Noveler is the best way to write a novel. Why? Quite simply because we've made it the easiest place to do it. Writing a novel is hard enough. Noveler takes care of all the logistical bits of writing a novel, just leaving that small matter of the words to you. It's a clean, beautiful writing interface with writing analytics, goals and streaks, advanced grammar checking, version control, day, evening, and night modes, and many other features designed to take all the stress out of writing. Tell us what you need and we'll build it. Together, we'll build a better tool. With a design-led approach, all the right tools that you need, Noveler saves all your words constantly, allows you to manage and order your novel easily. It's accessible from any device, desktop or mobile. It syncs to Google Drive and Dropbox. It allows exports in various formats, including ebook and more. It also has nice touches like allowing you to write both offline and online, unique for a web-based platform. Everyone needs help with their writing, from inspiration through to grammar checking, so we're doing our best to provide that support. We integrate that support directly into Noveler. Our advanced grammar checker powered by Pro Writing Aid does everything from spell check to style advice. Our writing courses include the incredible Tim Clare's Couch to ADK. We're really excited to offer all Author Stories listeners 30% off Noveler for a whole year. And it doesn't matter if you choose to sign up for the monthly or annual plan, you'll get 30% off. All you need to do is use the discount code Hank when you sign up. Noveler, Novlr. That's Noveler.org. So, when you first started envisioning, you said you first had the idea about this cat, but the cat needed an owner. Did the story start growing from there? And you mentioned that you worked on the book about 8 years. Did you have a plan from the beginning? Like, what was your process like for this book?
I didn't have much of a plan. I'm not really a very good planner, so it was more start with an idea and then write. And that's probably why it took me 8 years, because I kept going down the wrong route. And as much as I have written for years, before the last few years, I was never very good at turning it into the structure of a novel. So I'd write some pretty paragraphs and things, but I couldn't really stitch them into a novel that flowed. And it was only about 2 or 3 years ago, when I took a couple of creative writing classes, that I realised exactly how to structure a novel and how to get that beautiful arc that makes it really exciting for the reader. And that was the point where everything slotted into place. And Romilly has always been there. Sorry, carry on.
No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. So this creative writing course that you took, did... because you had written several novels before, so you understood kind of story structure. You knew that a book has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and the characters go somewhere, do something. Like, you understood the mechanics of it. But what was it about this course that unlocked this particular story for you?
I think the main thing I learned from that course was that everything that happens in the novel needs to move the story on. And before that, I was so caught up in the prettiness of scenes and describing things, and I didn't really understand the urgency needed. So that's exactly what I learned from that course, and it helped me immensely. It really did.
Had you shown this story to anyone prior to taking this course? Did people know that this was something you were working on?
People knew, but I think I was quite secretive about it. So it wasn't until the course, on most courses, you generally share your work with other people. And that's when you've been working on something for so long on your own, that, and you consider it yours and for your eyes only, to suddenly show your work to people it's so nerve-wracking, but it's also so affirming, because it shows you that you might actually have a kernel of an idea of something worth making even better.
Right. Right. So, this is something that happens with new writers a lot, is that you get so married to the story and the characters become really a part of you and closer than a friend. And this kind of weird thing happens with writers and their characters. And it's almost like the book can't progress anymore because you're so close to the story. When you started kind of having some of these realizations and realizing that the story needed to go through some changes, did you just kind of completely dismantle it? What was the editing process like that you went through to kind of pull this into the shape it is now?
I think you're absolutely right that you can't necessarily see the wood for the trees when you're writing, and right. You become so close that you can't see a way out. So that's when other people's thoughts are just priceless. I think I kept most of the story. It was more about sieving out the bits that didn't really need to be there and adding in clues. The whole story is a treasure hunt. The reader goes on the treasure hunt with Romilly, and you're trying to work out the clues as she does. And it's even harder because she's a young girl. She's not necessarily able to understand everything that's going on. And so we only really see her viewpoint. And so I had to try and cleverly insert clues throughout the novel so that the reader would feel like they were picking the treasure hunt apart. And that's what it was missing, I think, until I started the creative writing classes. I needed to find certain points in the novel to get the reader to pick apart the clues.
So in the book, Romilly's father, who is an eccentric artist, your words, not mine, it starts illustrating some children's books and basing them on Romilly. And kind of what does she think about this turn of events, that now there's a series of books and she's the child in them? What does that do for her, or do to her?
I think initially she's only about 9 years old when he comes up with the idea, and she loves the idea of being famous. She thinks about all the other famous children in books like Alice in Wonderland, and she can't wait. But I think as the novel progresses and as more and more of these books are created and she begins to grow older, the version of her in the books stays 9 years old, and she can't quite see herself in it anymore. And she feels, I think, quite lonely because her father is spending so much time with this illustrated version of her that she doesn't really have anyone to talk to.
That's fame is kind of a weird thing for a 9 year old to wrap their head around, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And I think that the father, Tobias, he has good intentions with these books because he needs to make money in order for them to survive. But it's not necessarily the right choice to put your own child in a series of books that actually become very famous.
Right. Do you feel like that he becomes distrustful of kind of this fame, that he feels like he's sold out a part of himself or his family to? It's a very uneasy fame, isn't it?
It is. And I think that's where the darkness in the novel comes in, because it's not just that he's chosen to put his daughter in the limelight. It's that he's also hidden family secrets in these books that other people believe is a treasure hunt, but actually the treasure hunt is just for Romilly. There's no gold or jewels. It's a dark secret he's hidden in the pages.
That had to be so much fun to write, the idea of these secrets and the hidden treasure, if you want to call it that. When you're thinking about these things as a writer, and you know that there's an overarching goal that you're trying to reach, how do you plan this out? And these Easter eggs, if you will, were these part of your master plan all along?
They were. I don't know if you've ever done a treasure hunt for your kids, but it's actually quite difficult. You sort of have to start at the treasure and work your way back, and you mustn't forget where you've hidden the clues. So it was quite stressful, but it was also really exciting planting these things and planting red herrings. You know, it doesn't become complete until it's all finished and you can read through and check that you've got everything in the right order, and then it's like, oh, this works, I think.
Now that this first off, you took the class and things started kind of opening up for you and how you saw stories and all of that, and then a strange thing happens when you finish this book and the publishers came knocking, and you have this fantastic story. What happened?
Well, I entered my novel into a competition in England called the Bridport Prize, and it came second. And it gave me the confidence to approach a literary agent that I'd been desperately hankering after but too scared to approach. And incredibly, she agreed to take me on, and we worked a little bit on edits of the novel. And then she said to me it would probably take up to about a month for publishers to get back to say whether or not they wanted to take the book on. And then she gave me a call, I think it was the next day, and she said, we've had quite a lot of interest. And this was UK and US. And so I was walking around Asda, which is, I think it's part of Walmart, and I sort of nearly fainted on the floor. And then the next day she rang and she said, we'll have a few conference calls and we'll talk about things. But I think there might possibly be a preempt, which is where instead of, if a book is popular, it might go to auction between publishers. But if a publisher really likes it, they might preempt it by putting in an offer. And lo and behold, the next day I got an offer from HarperCollins HQ in the UK. And then the same thing happened in America with Park Row Books a few days later. So it was just, it was an incredible few months of everything coming together. It felt like my whole world was aligning for me. But it's very easy to forget that I've been trying to write a novel for nearly 20 years at that point. So it was a beautiful culmination.
I'll bet. One thing I forgot to ask you, Romilly's friend Stacy, how does she factor into the story?
Well, Stacy's a real wild child. She would live outside if she could. She lives at the other end of the village, and she's quite... at times she can be a bit horrible to Romilly. She's a little bit of a bully, but she's also, she gets Romilly out doing naughty things. And I think Romilly absolutely adores her, but is also a little bit scared of her. And she's her only friend, because as the fame hits, the only thing that people want to do is shake Romilly's hand or get her signature or pull a button off her coat as a memento. So Stacey's the one person that is there for her throughout the novel.
love it. So what do you, you know, now that this book is out and available everywhere, there's links to it in the show notes where people can easily find it. What are you working on now?
Gosh, well, I've just finished the first draft of my second novel. I can't tell you much about it, but it's set on an island in the North Sea, just off the East Anglian coast in England. And it's about a family who live there. It's a historical novel set between 1927 and 2018. And it's about something that happens one day on that island that changes the family's life forever.
Love it. Well, the new book is called The Book of Hidden Wonders over in the UK. It's called The Illustrated Child. There are links to it in the show notes of this episode. Polly, tell people where they can find you online if they want to dig into all the great stuff that you're doing and connect with you.
Of course. I'm pollycrosby.com. I'm on Twitter as @writerpolly. And I'm on Instagram as Polly_Crosby and Facebook Polly Crosby Author.
Love it. We'll put links to all of those where people can easily find you. Polly, thank you so much for taking time to join me on the show today.
Hank, thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Authors, I have a fantastic new service to tell you about. It's called PubSite. PubSite is a service to help you build your very own website, your home on the web, where you can promote your work and give your fans a place to connect with you. PubSite is a website platform that allows every author, regardless of budget, to have a great-looking professional website, developed by the book marketing professionals at FSB Associates. PubSite is the new easy-to-use DIY website builder developed specifically for books and authors. Whether you're an author of one book or 20, or a small publisher, PubSite allows you to build, design, and most importantly, update your website pain-free. No need to be dependent on a designer or webmaster to make a small but costly change to your website. Save the money and do it yourself. PubSite is the best platform for authors because it's a book-centric platform. PubSite was built just for authors and small publishers. Every design, feature, and layout is book-centric. They have customized designs for you to use. It's easy to build. No coding or HTML is necessary to create a stunning, professional-looking website with all the features you want. Get a custom domain name, yourname.com. It's simple to update. You can add all of your books, add a blog and a book tour, sell from any retailer, manage your email list and social media, and even do e-commerce. Build your website with a 14-day free trial, then pay just $19.99 per month, which includes hosting. And we offer packages starting at $499 to set up the website for you. Pub-site.com, the place to help authors find their home on the web.